good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This hey, portion Kutagi of the show is brought to
all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. Sorry, I jumped in there a little early. I'm a little rusty.
No problem, Wendy Apinigigi. Hey, we want to get, before we get going, give Haley a big shout out. It is her birthday today, and she's off, and she's in D.C. doing her thing. So a big shout out to our producer, Haley Cherry. And, hey, we got Dr. Stately on. And we're always really good to see Dr. Stately and all the great work. And he's the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and on the Franklin corridor, the Native American corridor in Minneapolis. So hey, welcome, Dr. Stately.
Bushu, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So we should get going here. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got, I guess Super Tuesday is tomorrow, and we got to get out and vote. Mm-hmm. And, I just got to tell you a quick story. We were reached out by the Biden administration to have Kamala Harris's husband on today, and we have to have him on tomorrow. So it's just like, you got to be flexible, right?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, Doug Emhoff, who is known as the second gentleman, was supposed to be on tonight, but he will be on tomorrow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they must have heard that you were on the show on Mondays and didn't want to go up against
acquiesced.
You. They didn't want to go up against you. They didn't want to go up against you. You're one of our best... at least top five guests we have on each week.
Oh, you're sweet and kind. Thank you. He could have been on with me. I would have been happy to talk about the importance of getting registering to vote and get out to vote and, doing your civic duty. I think those are really important things. Those are all, critical things to do. There's never been a more important time for us to sort of engage in the our civic responsibility and vote and make our voices heard. I have plenty of relatives who are who are like the salty bunch. They're like, well, my vote doesn't matter, my this, my that, and these kinds of things. And I said, well, that is your vote won't matter at all if you don't vote, if you don't cast it. you can't say like my thoughts and my ideas and the way I feel doesn't matter if you don't engage in the civic process, like at the bare minimum, cast your vote, cast your ballot.
I don't know if it's because of my father being a strong union person, but I've voted every presidential election since 1980. I was 19. And just because he did, and there's a thing out there, too. If you start voting when you're young, you will pretty much remain a voter.
Yeah, vote it for forever. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that there's a little bit, I think, of... responsibility that we have as elders and sort of kind of helping our young ones understand the reason why it's important to vote. my mom was a community activist, very, very active in the politics and the community sort of in the South Minneapolis community along the cultural corridor. And she was, she was deeply involved in like the creation of AIM and, supporting that initiative and a lot of the other things that are going on in our community. She was like, she set an example for me about how to be civically engaged and how to be, what's expected of you in not just leadership, but being a member of a community, right? Like it's, I think some people think like, oh, well, that's, you have to be a leader to do these things, go to caucus and, go to city hall or the state government and those kinds of things to sort of voice your opinion. But, those tools and those strategies are open to every single, citizen of Turtle Island. It's a good time to remind people, I think too, that like, you are a citizen of your nation, but you're also a citizen of the city or the county and the city or the town and the county and the state that you live in and a citizen of the United States. Like think about like the four or five sort of responsibilities that you have and opportunities that you have to sort of kind of weigh into shaping the things that go on in and around you and that impact you and your family and your community. Like there are a lot of places around the world that don't have that level of sort of engagement and the ability to sort of kind of like,
have your opinion heard. We as Native Americans haven't, and we've had to fight for the vote and the women.
We only had it for 100 years.
Right. And the women vote too, Wendy. I mean, the Republicans seem like they want to turn back the clock and make great America great again. And I think they're talking like the 1890s now, what they think is America great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm shocked and surprised that, I'm actually not shocked and surprised. Like, I would imagine that MAGA and the Trumpsters would try to, use that Cher song, If I Could Turn Back Time, and go back to the times, I'm pretty sure that she would shut that down fairly rapidly if they tried, but
I think that song came out too when Cher was she was an Indian then, I think, when that came out.
She was not. No, she was not. That's not true.
Yeah.
No. I don't really know like where the narrative about that, came from. Like, I mean, I think there are people that thought that maybe, like, I think it's like, you're just sometimes a victim of like, rumorhood when you're a star. You should know this. You're a little bit of a media star. People probably make stuff up about you all the time. I think I actually have heard a salty, like an interesting rumor or two about you, but the point being is that, here, I think the thing that is disturbing to me, so I've been in a couple of different conversations, with some people who are my age, some people who are like just the generation after me, and then like some young people like you are like in their early 20s and like mid, early 30s. And I've heard time and time again, people that I actually love and care a lot about say things like, Biden's, he's old, he's this, he's that, like he messes up, in his comments sometimes, and he's too old to be president, he's too old to this, and we need somebody young and new and vital in leadership. And I'll look at them and I'll be like, what are you talking about? We're indigenous people. Like, who holds the reins of leadership in our communities?
Right.
Right.
The elders.
And who do we consider to be wise, thoughtful, intentional, not impulsive, all those other things, right? These are our elders. And so one of the things that I just am always surprised at is when I hear people make that comment. Like I don't expect it from indigenous people, but I mean, I expect it from non-indigenous people because they have a different value set, I think, around elderhood. But
definitely.
Well, relatives to be a little more thoughtful.
Well, here we're with Dr. Stately, and we're talking pre-Super Tuesday politics here on Native Roots Radio. Really appreciate it. And this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break, Wendy.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19 inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark. Rymark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RymarkIT.com.
Greg Bakken here. I've told you about the Out of the World roast beef sandwiches at Maverick's Real Roast Beef, but I haven't told you about their Philly steak sandwiches, turkey bacon avocado sandwich, BLT, crispy chicken, fish sandwiches, brisket, or pulled pork. Okay, you get the idea. They make a lot of delicious food to the same standard as their famous roast beef sandwiches, and now I'm starving. I'm going to go to Maverick's Real Roast Beef off Lexington and Roseville, and you need to go too. Check out their menu at mavericksbeef.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately. And, you know, when we get our age, Dr. Stately, our bones start creaking and making funny noises. And
especially if you don't sit still in your chair.
Right. Well, yours sound like paper being torn up and marbles bouncing on your table.
Really? That's interesting. Do you want to know what yours sound like?
No. Wendy can tell me later.
Cat meowing. We hear a cat meowing right. In Robert's studio.
A little whiskey.
In Dr. Stately's studio, we hear rustling and papers messing around. And the New York studio here is just perfectly fine and organized and noise-free.
I heard police cars in the back. I heard sirens in the background, Wendy.
I was going to say, listen really closely. I'm sure you can hear like
people
a subway or two. People
screaming,
some gunshots perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am in my office. And so legitimately, this is an office where, you know, important things are happening and being decided and, you know, papers, I got to read them and sign them and, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I don't have an excuse for that, but I am looking at your blackboard there, and I like your strategic plan that you're working on there.
Those are like two projects we're in the process of working on in our new research center we're launching. So,
wow, that's exciting. You want to talk a little bit about that? That's
I can give like some. It's a little early. We're still working on the name of it, so I'll kind of wait until I'm. I'll just say, generally speaking, this is the year after many years of sort of like looking for resources to do it and a few other things and talking about launching a research center. You know, I was having a conversation actually with somebody not too long ago, a colleague of mine. And I was saying like, oh, I think I'm going to try to like, you know, launch a research center and research a community-facing one, a community-based, Indigenous-led, Indigenous-centered research center that sort of like is a resource to NAC, because we have a lot of work we do here that we farm out a lot of our evaluation. And also the other part of that is that, like, you know, there are a lot of organizations in our community that need good sound evaluation and research. And when we don't take the responsibility to lead that work as Indigenous people, and we rely on non-Indigenous people to lead research for us, sometimes the narrative and the story gets sort of a little bit distorted, you know, and I'm saying that kindly. And I think it's time for us to sort of write our own story and write our own narrative and be the creators of that narrative, and that we're doing the storytelling and the information sharing justice, because data is a powerful tool. Data is, like, you know, there are a handful of things that people are going to fight over, you know, at the end of the world when we go into, like, these bloody battles at the, you know, just before Armageddon. They're going to fight over land, water, food, and data. Money isn't even going to be in play here, right? And I'm saying that a little bit in jest, but the point is that that's kind of where we were landing, and partly, like, we want to do a better job in our clinic of understanding what we're seeing phenomenologically, anecdotally, every day with people walking in the clinic and the services we do. And the only way to do that is to do really intentionally structured inquiries about, like, the impact that our work is having on the community and the people we serve. And so that's a big part of it. So I was telling a colleague of this, I was like, I wanted to start a research center. She goes, you have, like, 5 research grants. It sounds like you already have a center. Like, why don't you just, like, put the name on the door and then call it the research center? And I said, I can do that. And she said, how do you think everybody else does it? And I was like, and I was like, oh, well, there you go. It's just like, all you have to do is give me a little bit of permission, and I'm off and running. So,
Wendy, did you ever do any research when you were a pharmacist?
Not while I was a pharmacist. We had research projects to do when I was in pharmacy school, and we had to give presentations on such things, but not when I was a pharmacist. No, I was not a research pharmacist. Yeah.
So you can tell a little bit by, like, some of the writing in the background. Like, NAC is, you know, kind of unapologetically in our Indigenous way, like, owning some of our things. And we're, like, you know, we're centering culture and traditional healing and cultural healing practices in a lot of the work we do, both within the clinic and also out in the community. We support a couple of different community ceremonies that happen monthly, a full moon ceremony for young women and women. At Little Earth, and then we also do a cedar ceremony every single month as well on the first Thursday of the month. And so that one's coming up this Thursday at MIWRC. And these ceremonies are important. You know, it's important to us that, especially within an urban area, that we have access to the things that our ancestors have always found to be helpful and healing and sustaining for who we are as Indigenous people. And we don't often have the access to those things. And so it's really been a big piece of our work at NAC to be able to make that available to not just our patients, but everybody in the community. And so part of what we're doing with our research center is we're taking a look at, like, the understanding that better, trying to assess and determine, you know, what parts of that process are really helpful when it's integrated into a Western medical clinic. There isn't a lot of people that are doing that research, and we are 5 years into this process, and we want to understand it better. So that's a big part of what we're doing.
Wow.
And then we're doing also some larger research studies that we're a partnership with collaborations we're in.
So I don't really understand what research and so research, would that be like kind of like surveying constantly and then understanding what you're surveying, or is it medical research?
Well, research, yeah, research is a broad category. So, like, you know, like one of the most profound and fun, I feel like I'm in New Jersey.
Long Island.
Long Island, yeah, right.
I'm on mute, by the way.
Just saying, right?
Well, let's just say. I was going to research has a broad sort of like structure, includes all kinds of things. But one of the things that I particular form of research that I really love and I feel really close to is qualitative research, which is really sort of kind of listening to stories. Like you ask people, folks from a specific population or a specific group or a group of people that are impacted by a certain kind of condition or a situation that you're interested in understanding better, and you sit and you talk with them, you ask them questions that get them talking about their experience. I specifically also like really to do like in qualitative research, I like to understand, I like to use that methodology to specifically understand like things like the life course of something or the trajectory of like how something, a condition or a person got from A to B and to Z. Like there's some really important reasons to use qualitative as well as quantitative research. So I do a lot of mixed methods research, which is what that's called when you use qualitative. So collecting hard data, survey data or epidemiological data or something like that. And then qualitative survey, which is asking people to tell us a story about their experience related to some condition or situation. And you take those two things together and you combine them together and you can do a much better job of describing like a condition or a situation in much more detail that's really meaningful and really, really broad that helps us to sort of kind of understand some nuances. And I think the kind of work that we're doing needs that type of research. We need to ask people to tell us the stories of like how they became homeless, how they got into this situation. What does drumming mean to you? What does this ceremony mean to you? How is that impacting you in your life? And you don't get the richness and the profundity of that response unless you let them talk to you and tell you a story versus giving them 10 things to check a box about.
Wow. You know, I felt a little excitement coming from you, Dr. Stately. You dig this.
I dig it. It's my shtick, man.
that's cool.
Remember, what's his name from, I Got $1 Million guy, Austin Powers, to use his words, this is my bag. My bag, baby.
Oh, man. Definitely. But yeah, that's exciting. And that's needed research, especially with what we got going. You know, we still have things happening in the community that just astonished me. I had a relative reach out of the death of a cousin that could have been stopped. And they're meeting with the police department tomorrow and the mayor's office. And it's still happening. That's really so sad. It's very sad. And you know, sometimes we wonder what year it is and what we're doing here, but we do need this kind of research.
Yeah, we need to understand better the lived experiences of people who don't have voice, right? And so research is one way that we kind of give people an opportunity to give voice to the conditions of their lives so that we understand them better and give them a path to also tell like what their experience is like. So there's a lot of benefits to it.
Definitely. Wow. I'd like to hear some more. And then I also heard rumors that you were at Bear Grease this weekend. I'd like to hear what you thought about that.
Did you get your auntie's panties?
No, but I'd like those dolls. I wanted to get one of those dolls, but that's another story. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Okeezy, which means to heal. They are at All My Relations Art Gallery in Minneapolis now until April 13th.
Yeah, what a great showing there at the art place there at All My Relations. We'd like to stop in, get a cup of coffee, wave to my friends at Native American Community Development Institute, and then go in there and check out the museum. It's always inspiring. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately for another segment, and I know he's got to get going here soon, but we got to see Bear Grease. I saw it mock night. I had my moccasins on Friday night or Saturday night, and got to see the play. The place was packed.
Yeah, nice. Were those moccasins anti-approved?
Mounts. Yes. I need to put some applique on there so my brothers don't get mad at me wearing.
There you go. Stuff. Yeah. No, it was awesome. I was like, I made, you know, like I had to like I had to do like the thing with my kids. Like I told them, like, hey, we're going to St. Paul. It's, you know, to see this thing at 2 o'clock, and like it's, you know, it's a surprise, and I didn't tell them what we were doing, and they kept hammering me about it. Like, where are we going? I said, it's a surprise. And they're like, tell us where we're going. And I was like, do you have any idea how many times I do stuff for you that I don't personally want to do, but I do it anyway? That's kind of like, this is what this is called. So I think you'll like it. So just, and I want it to be a surprise. If I told you ahead of time, it wouldn't be a surprise. And so I roped them into this thing, and we showed up, and they were like, you know, at first they were ooh, but by the end of the show, they really loved it. Because they're like dyed-in-the-wool Grease fans. They love the movie.
Oh, really?
As does their father. And yeah. And so we showed up. I saw your daughter there. Yeah, she was like in the check-in line. And she was looking busy, right? She was looking very busy. Yeah, she was like looking like she was running the place, actually. And I was like, and it was good to see her. And I told her, I said, like, tell me who plays Rezzo, because I'm going to like go and find her like backstage, and I'm going to put something in her like drink so that she like gets knocked out and I have to step in and play her, because this is my favorite character in Greece.
Well, it was Elder's Day too. And I think, it was March 3rd, Elder's Day at 2 o'clock, and that was been a prime time for me to go, too, because I went to the 7:30 show, and being an elder, I was getting tired, you know?
You're falling asleep, yeah.
No, not yet, but I was getting tired, and it was perfect length of time. The music and the singing was unbelievable, and I love that little
theater. It was very good. Yeah, it was very good. Did you get yourself some plushies and some aunties panties at the end of the night?
No, I didn't. But I'm planning on going.
We should probably explain that to the people who are not able to. Yeah, who are not able to go to the show. Like,
well, they also sell hot sauce too. They were selling it.
They sell hot sauce and did you check out the books? Like, I didn't have a lot of time to do that because, of course, like I'm bringing teenagers, so I'm late to the show, right? Because we're supposed to leave our house by 1:15. At 1:28, I'm still telling them to hurry up and get dressed. It's like crazy making to me. And so, like, you know, I made it from all the way from Prior Lake at 1:30 to the Gremlin Theater in St. Paul in 20 minutes, which is it is a Herculean feat to do that. Accomplished that. On any other given day, it's like a 30-minute drive. But so I get there, and I'm checking out the plushies, and I'm like, so I'm gonna go back after the thing is over to go check out the plushies and all the other stuff, because I think the guy who is the husband of the main director, I met him. Mm-hmm. Was it Charlie? He has those graphic novels over there in the corner that he has done, which are really amazing, like, you know, graphic comic books about, like, and he designed a lot of the sets, and he's designed a lot of the other things. He designed the plushies and these other things. Anyway, so I wanted to go back and look at him. And of course, at the end, then, given that it's Elder's Night, you would assume that, you know, a spry 61-year-old would have been able to get in front of everybody to get to the, you know, to the swag, but no, I didn't quite make it.
No. So. Wow. That was a long story. I don't know if it was good.
I'm going back on Friday, and guess where I'm going to go first. I'm going to go to the swag.
Well, that's Auntie's night, the 7th.
So tell everybody, so Bear Grease, is it a parody play based on Grease?
It's a parody. The indigenous, yeah. Yep. Okay. It's the indigenous version of Grease.
Didn't you like us talking in code?
Well, yeah. I've been in New York, so I don't. You know, I didn't know what it was. So, okay, I kind of figured it out.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it still available? Can people still go see it?
Yeah, it's 7th, 8th, and 9th that'll be on again. And the 7th is Auntie's Night. And March 8th is Native Bling Night. And March 9th is Youth Day at 2. And then they have a 1950s costume contest in. Boy, I'm going to slick my hair back and wear some jeans and fold them up and win that contest.
Ole. You have some bling. You could wear some bling, too.
Yeah, now, I feel like I kind of know you really well, and I would say that I'm sure that you probably in that basement of yours have something from the 50s.
Oh, my God. Did you go there Wendy? Oh,
Robert, yeah, maybe you should go. Maybe you should go on Auntie's night, Robert.
Easy, yeah. Wendy. Easy.
Yeah, I might have to. Auntie Annette might have to make an appearance on Auntie's night. Actually,
well, you know, but it was very good singing. There was lyrics changed, and they indigenized a lot of the songs. It was really fun. And it was just a jam-packed energy of roughly about 80 minutes.
Yeah, I was laughing so hard. It was so amazing. The comedy and the comedic timing of things is so funny. And it's just like the change in some of the lyrics. One of my favorite lyrics they changed was like, you know, and that's a Bobby Darin song, like, for every kiss I give you, you give me, I'll give you three. And they changed the lyrics to be like, for every kid you give me, I'll give you three.
That's hilarious. How did your sons like it?
They loved it. I was pleasantly surprised. They both told me over pizza later that afternoon that they had a really good time. They liked it. They laughed. Oh, they were good. Like, we want to do more things like that. And I said, okay, we'll go to more places.
That's awesome. Yeah. And tickets are on sale. Pay as you can, or a suggested $35 group tickets, box office. Mm-hmm. nativetheater.org. More information, nativetheater.org out there. And it's
New Native Theater.
Yes,
it's actually a production of New Native Theater. Not a production, but New Native Theater produces original theater in the Twin Cities, and they've done that for a number of years. Johnny Yazzie was the director of that organization, and she still is. But and then I think the other thing is that they bring in shows like this. They curate and they bring in shows that we were. And I've been I was so excited about this because I've been tracking Bear Grease. Like read an article about it a year ago. It was in Canada, and then I saw it was in somewhere else. And I was like, I'm going to fly to California to see this thing. And I couldn't get any tickets. And I was like, please, creator, bring Bear Grease to Minneapolis. And it almost worked. It brought it to St. Paul.
Yeah. New Native Theater has been around so long. I feel like I should start new Native Theater.
Well, no? It's because in the Bible, you hear about St. Paul, but you never hear about Minneapolis.
This is true.
Wendy with the Bible talk. Hey.
Okay. You're the host. You better pull this thing together here now. We're just going randomly place here.
That's why I'm losing it.
See what happens when the producer is on vacation and gone? This is what happens.
It's her birthday. Well, you know, this is written by Crystal Lightning. She's Cree, and MC Red Cloud, a.k.a. Lightning Cloud. Bear Grease is a Treaty 6 indigenous twist on the classic musical Grease, featuring an all-indigenous cast. This hilarious twist on the 1978 classic reimages the beloved musical as culturally relevant and indigenous humor and pride.
Yeah, yeah. I already have the idea for their next musical. like their big goal is to take this to Broadway, which I really hope happens, because man, that would be awesome, right? But and then but I was like, you know what you really need to do is you need to remake Mean Girls and have it be like, you know, Salty Aunties. The Salty Aunties.
Wow.
And do a musical version of like Mean Girls, like, yeah, but have it be Salty Aunties and like,
yeah, we get it, we get it. So we were really proud of our daughter. Jaleesa was in the last two plays from New Native Theater, and really excited for her to be enjoying this and being part of this Native Theater organization, and being exposed to all these people across the country is really cool. I think they said they had like six people from the original cast. That was 2 years ago up in Canada.
Yeah, they have two new people. One was from, I shook that guy's hand. One of them is from, I think he, every nation he was from. And then the other young woman was from Canada. But they were really nice. The main care, one of the main singers, she's like the, she's in the number one slot now, I think, for, as the indigenous native music, recording artist. Yeah, the indigenous, recording artists. Yeah, which is amazing. It was like, and she was like, the whole thing was really beautiful, actually. It was really wonderful. And
Dancing and the backup singing. Mm-hmm. I was on the side of the stage, so I wasn't in the front. So I was on the side in the first row. But the people with the microphones were belting that out from the get-go. Right from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I have had this lifelong desire to be a singer and an actor. Like, that's why I went to California. So at the end of the show, I was talking to them and I was giving them recommendations on how to integrate an elder into. I was like, you know, I could be the fairy godfather, you know, from like, you know, doing, beauty school dropout.
Well, instead of the bumper music, do you mind singing us off? This is, we got 30 seconds left. Sing us a little tune there.
No, I think, you know, I think the one song that I would be confident in singing would be There Are Worse Things That I Can Do, because it's the only one I know all the lyrics to.
Do it.
Rezo's song.
Okay, we got 20 seconds. Do it.
Well, yeah. No, because I think you're recording this, aren't you? Like, yeah.
Yeah, so. This is all over the country, so.
Yeah. There are worse things I could do.
Oh, shoot.
You were doing boy it. Or two.
Oh, we'll be right back with Wendy and
her. It's a fitting song for me. People who know me know that, yeah, that's my lived experience.
Okay. Wow. Awesome. Thanks, Dr. Stately. Great to see you.
Sure. Have a great evening. Go see Bear Grylls.
Oh, well.
Take care.
Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The vehicle for the Minnesota family is the Toyota Sienna, and the best place to get one is Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. That's not an opinion, that's a fact. I have three kids, and the Sienna hauls all your kids' sports and school gear easily. I can attest they're the safest vehicles, trust me, protecting your most valuable cargo. They're the perfect vehicle for the spring break or summer road trip, and the hybrid model is insanely fuel efficient. And Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Siennas. Get one today. It's my highest recommendation. Rudy Luther Toyota, west of Minneapolis on 394.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Oh.
Well, that was fun with Dr. Stately, huh?
Yeah, he's awesome. Dr. Stately's the best. He does such good work. And, you know, he's a really serious, thoughtful guy. But he's also really funny, too. So I love that about him.
Exactly. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And she talks about our sacred animals on Native Roots Radio. So we're really excited to have you on. Thanks, Wendy. Introduce yourself, please.
Yes. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my David Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I just want to give, speaking of Uncle Curtis, I'd like to give his wife, Kim, a shout out.
Yeah.
Healing thoughts and prayers to her. And Robert, one of your favorite birds will be coming around Minnesota soon. Do you know what that bird is?
Hummingbird?
A hummingbird.
Yes.
Yes. So they're migrating. They leave like the Gulf of Mexico like in February, and they migrate north. And I'm going to read a little something here. But in Minnesota, hummingbird and nectar feeders should also be put out. So we need to get that ready, the nectar feeder, by May 1st.
Okay.
But it's really important that you clean it first. And you clean it properly. Hummingbirds are very fragile, right? So they could be affected by chemicals and things really easily. So they want you to clean the feeder with lemon juice. That's all they want you to do is put lemon juice in there. They're saying soap residue is harmful, and lemon juice and vinegar. So lemon juice and vinegar. Put some in there, shake it up, rinse it out really good. That residue is not harmful to them. And we need to get ready because the hummingbirds typically arrive in the Twin Cities during the last week of April or the first week of May. So they're going to be here, and we need to get that ready. So get that glass container out. We use a glass container. We don't put any dyes in our nectar. I make the nectar at home just using plain cane sugar. Don't use any organic sugar or raw sugar or brown sugar. Just plain old Morton, you know, the sugar. No, that's Morton salt, but just plain old white sugar. You could just Google the ratio. I don't remember offhand what the ratio from like a cup of sugar to like 3 cups of water, something like that. But check it out before you do that. Boil it up, let it cool. And then just put a little in the container outside your feeder. Just put a little bit, because what you really want to do is change that nectar every few days. And especially on very, very hot days, you want to change it every day because the sugar in there will crystallize, and then the little hummingbirds suck the nectar, and then their tongues get like glued shut by that crystallized sugar, and then they can't eat, and then they eventually die. So, yeah, A lot of people just like fill up their nectar, they stick it out there, they leave it out for the whole season, but you don't want to do that. You want to, you know, if you're going to do this, you have to be committed to clean your nectar and put fresh nectar in and do it, you know, regularly. The leftover nectar that you just boil up, the sugar and water, that's all it is. You could just keep it in the fridge. It stays like for a week or two and just use that, you know, just do that. Yeah.
I can't wait to use my little ring, Wendy, that I got for my birthday.
Oh, so yeah. Robert loves the hummingbird. So I got him a little ring, and the ring has like a flower, a big red flower on it with a little hole in it where you could put a little nectar in there and just hold your hand up like this and watch the hummingbirds come right in front of your face.
Can't wait.
I don't know if they'll ever do that. The thing is too, they're saying just because of the warmer weather that they may even be here sooner than thought. Because a lot of things, you know, because it's been so warm, it's been unprecedented. This is the warmest winter on record.
Wow.
Yeah, in Minnesota and throughout the country. So it's really a little nerve-wracking, because these little bees and pollinators, they're waking up, and they're waking up to no food. There's not enough flowers to sustain them. Right. So what you could do, and what we have done in the past, and I do this throughout the year too, even when it's like super hot and it hasn't rained in a long time, get like a flat pan. Fill it up with, you could just put plain water or sugar water in there, and use marbles so that the pollinators and the bees could land on the marbles and drink the water without drowning. So we've done that a lot. And I have pictures of these beautiful bees and other pollinators landing. I used very small rocks. I didn't have any marbles, but I used very small rocks, filled it up with water. I've even grated apples. Sometimes I put them in there, and that really attracts them, and it just gives them that extra boost if they can't find water or they can't find food. Like at the end of the year also, when they're like flying around and they're like, okay, it's the fall, we have no more food left, and they really are attracted to that.
You've also put out like what, oranges for, or tomatoes for the bees too?
Yeah, I've cut oranges up and opened them up and put them around, and they could just go right on the orange and suck that juice. And that's really helpful for them too. I know when you said over this past weekend, it got up to like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm sure that a lot of animals are being tricked by this weather, you know, and I don't think that it's all that healthy for them to like, okay, it's spring. Really? It's spring. They're half asleep. They're waking up, and then bam, they get hit again with, you know, colder weather. It's probably devastating for them. I can't imagine that happening, but it's true. You know, that's what happens. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was, cats. I don't go for hummingbirds. Yeah, let's just take care of our pollinators. We need them. They need to pollinate all our flowers and all our things. But I've been thinking about our cat Lucy a lot. Just so everybody knows that, you know, Lucy is our cat. She's 17 years old. She's in kidney failure. Robert brought her to the vet today to get fluids. She gets subcutaneous fluids once a week. She's been doing that for like the past 2.5 years. It's been really keeping her alive and keeping her feeling okay. But I just, you know, would ask everyone to just say a little prayer for Lucy, because we don't really know how much more time she has. So that would be great. But I always do like a fun fact Friday, but this is Monday, so we could do like a manic Monday. Cats are believed to be the only mammal who don't taste sweetness. So don't give Lucy any sugar or anything. And house cats, just your regular, ordinary house cat, shares 95.6% of their genetic makeup with tigers. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Yeah.
Hey,
so
Wendy.
We really love our Lucy.
Wendy will be back tomorrow with Kamala's husband, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Free Leonard Peltier.